All right. I want to welcome everybody to this.
This conference will now be recorded.
There we go. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Hurricane Research Advisory Committee meeting and our conference participation process, teleconference participation process is try to keep your phones or your computers muted. Be very aware of background noise. It projects in and is disruptive. State your name each time you speak, but only speak when your name is called upon. And committee members, please state your name when making and seconding motions. Let's go ahead and do a roll call to make sure we have a quorum. Chairman Schock.
Here.
Sergio Escunte. Joe Belcher.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Ann Cope.
I'm here.
Commissioner Gross.
Here.
Mark Michelson.
Here.
Craig Perino.
Here.
John Plisich.
Here.
Mike Savage. Angela Shadle.
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer.
Come on.
Jeff Schnellman.
Here.
Vince Seha.
Here, sir.
Commissioner Swope. Brian, are you on? All right, I'm just going to check one more time for the folks we don't have on. Sergio Escunce, are you on? Mike Savage or Brian Swope? All right, well, we have 12 of 15 members, so we certainly have a quorum. So I think we're ready to go ahead and start. Commissioner Schock, if you wanted to go ahead and review the agenda, get the agenda approved in the minutes, and then turn to the committee to kind of review the process we're going to use for the rest of the meeting.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. And speaking for everybody once again, nice to see you again, and welcome back.
Thank you.
So today's agenda will be to approve the regular procedural topics of the agenda in the minutes, evaluate and prioritize the research projects recommended for the Commission for fiscal year 2022-2023 funding, and to hear any public committee or staff comments. So with that, is there first of all a motion to approve the meeting agenda?
Belcher, move approval.
Vince, second.
Belcher, is you second it?
Seha.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor? Any opposition? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to review and approval of the April 14th, 2022 meeting minutes. They're posted on the website. Is there any comments or revisions to the meetings? If not, I'll hear an approval.
Belcher, move approval.
Seha, second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes of the April 14th, 2022 meeting. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Jeff, should I turn it back over to you now for evaluation and prioritization of the research project?
Yes, sir. And if Jim, you would allow me to share the screen, I'd like to kind of review the process, please. Who's this? I'm not sure what this is about here. Jim, it doesn't seem to, let me see if this will let me do it. Jim, it says you turned my camera off, but that's not the case. trying to get my screen to show. It doesn't want to do it.
Hang on just a second. I'll re-up everything.
All right.
Do you see it now?
Yeah, it's asking me to allow something, but I'm trying to, but it doesn't seem to allow me to do it. Zoom, button zoom, go to meeting, there it is. Click lock to make changes. Oh, God. Give me a sec, I'm having to go through some system stuff. Okay. That should do it, I hope. And let's see if that works. I'm going to have to rejoin the meeting, so give me a second. Jim, try it again. It's I set the some kind of security stuff, so you should let me do it. So if you'll go ahead and let me share it again.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, I don't mean to interrupt you. It's Brian. So if I joined the call just about 2 minutes ago.
Okay,
you guys are doing your technical part.
Thanks. Has Sergio joined the call yet or not? No. Jim, it's still not.
I'm working on it, Jeff.
Okay. Sorry, folks. I'm not sure what the deal is. I've done this in the past, but
you should have it now, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to work.
It may be popping up behind something you have.
No, it's. It's some kind of a go to meeting. Doing the same thing. It said I have to quit and reopen it, which doesn't make any sense.
No.
Let's see if that works. I don't know. It's not happening for some reason. Okay, wait a minute. Here comes something.
There you go. You got it. That's it.
Hooray.
Yep.
Right. Sorry about that, folks. Glad it worked out. Let me just get this other thing here so I can view everyone. Okay. So what we have is the process we're going to use. So there are three research project proposals that are required for the development of the 2023 code. Most provide all the documentation. There are six proposed research projects that have provided proposals, including the scope of work, PI, from the state university and budgets. However, we will have to, before we go into the process, is decide whether the latest project, Project F, which was received late, meets the definition of research or technical enrichment. So we'll take a vote on that first. If it doesn't, then that's it. It's done. If it does, then it will be added to the five that are already in place. We'll go into that in a minute. So a brief summary of the financial components is there's about $450,000 available for this fiscal year of funding. $189,977 are the projects that MOA has identified here that are required for the 2023 code. They will not be ranked. They'll be automatically funded, so that will leave the balance of money approximate for funding at around $260,023. Right now, there's assuming that all the projects are included, the last project is added in there, there's about a request for $630,616, which of course would leave a deficit of about $370,593. So you'll do the ranking exercise on the projects. We'll allow each PI to give up to, but no more than 5 minute summary if they choose to on their projects. We'll take public comment, and then we'll come back as the committee to rank these in order, and then they would be funded in the order. Once we complete that, then we would make a motion to the commission to approve funding the projects based on the prioritized order that you are recommending to the commission. Does anybody have any questions on the process?
Hey, Jeff, it's Tom Campbell.
Sure, Tom.
And I just wanted to add that when you're doing the ranking, just keep in mind that we can probably get three of these projects done. The 260 amount is a bit flexible because we might have some additional sources of revenue if we need to tap into those. So be looking at what you consider to be your top three.
Okay. Very good. Good point. And that's kind of how we broke it out last year, too, is the top three and then the other three, if there's funding, might be funded in the order. So it still matters that we do it all. Okay, so unfortunately, I'm going to stop sharing for a second.
Jeff, I have a question while you're doing that. This is Shellman.
Okay, sure, Jeff, go ahead.
There was one of the proposals that is listed that it came in after May 3rd, which I believe was the deadline. Are we considering that, or was that just for information?
So that's the first question on the table, which we're going to do actually right now, is you as a committee are going to vote to decide whether that project meets the definition of research and or technical enrichment and whether you want to take it up at this time based on it was late. So it's a decision that the committee will make first. That's the first thing we'll do, and then we'll either have five or six projects because the other five already went through that evaluation at the last meeting. So that's what we need to do first. So you've seen the proposal that came in late, which was establishing inspection periods for preventive measures for mid-rise buildings near coastal and inland South Florida environment from FIU for $125,000. So does any HRAC member have any questions or comments they want to ask before we take a vote to determine whether you want to, whether it meets the definition and you want to include it in the list for today?
I find that it does meet the criteria. It also tangibly addresses one of the things we talked about before regarding concrete structures and durability and helping nail down an appropriate milestone period for certification of structures. In light of what happened in legislation 4D, it might be prudent to get some actual data to back this up.
Jeff, this is Mo Magliani.
Yes,
can you hear
me? Yes, sure.
I just want to clarify something. I think all these projects that submitted address the topics that were reviewed at the last meeting. So in terms of meeting the specific fundings or the scope and so on, I think in terms of the topics as selected, the answer is yes. The question is whether this late submittal is acceptable or not. I think that's the main thing for the...
All right. So the question then, basically as it boiled down to is whether you want to consider it at this point in the game since it came in late. And that's just the decision you as a committee will make once we, we'll just take a vote on it and see where people, I'll do a voice vote and ask yes or no, we'll count it up and see where we sit. Anybody else, any other committee members want to say anything before we do that?
Yeah, Tim Schock here.
Sure, Jim.
I certainly understand reasoning why we wouldn't allow it, but I think we have an abnormal circumstance here with the legislative body did in the special session, and I think that creates a kind of a special need, really. So I'm I'm going to speak in favor of accepting it, and possibly as an alternative if we can't accept it. And is it, and this is a question really, because I think item number 3 addresses some of the similar issues, not quite the same, but maybe there's some way that it can be incorporated somehow. That may be an alternative if we can't agree on accepting it. Just throw that out.
Sure. Well, let's see where the committee lands first, and then we can decide what our other approaches are. Does any other committee member want to say anything before I do a voice count? All right, I'm just going to ask, by call your name, and you'll say yes or no that you'd like to take this up today and include it in the ranking exercise. Commissioner Schock?
Yes.
Sergio's not here. Joe Belcher?
Yes, for discussion.
Okay. Commissioner Compton?
Yes, for discussion.
Ann Cope?
Yes.
Commissioner Groves?
Yes.
Mark Michelson?
Yes.
Craig Perino?
Yes.
Okay. John Plisich?
Yes.
Mike Savage? Not here. Angela Shadle?
Yes.
Brad, Commissioner Schiffler? Brad?
Yes.
All right. Jeff Schnellman?
Yes.
Vince Sayhouse?
Yes.
Commissioner Swope, Brian? Okay, well, that's 13 of 13, so clearly then we'll just proceed with ranking the 6 projects. So the next order of business is we're going to go in order and allow each principal investigator, and I'm going to be timing this and give you a 1-minute warning. You don't have to take the full time if you feel you've covered it already, but you have that. Once we hear from the 6 principal investigators on the 6 projects, we'll take public comment, and then we'll come back to the committee, and then we'll have discussions and whatever you'd like to do, and then we'll do the ranking exercise. So let's hear from the PIs, hear from the public, then come back to the committee and proceed accordingly. If you have questions, committee members of the principal investigators, you can ask those after each presentation and before we start the next. So we're going to start with Project A, wind-induced loads on ground-mounted and ground ballasted systems, FIU, ionic devices. Are you on it? Would you like to provide an overview, sir?
Yes, hello to everyone. I have a presentation that I put together, and if you can allow me to share my screen.
Okay, I'll give you a 1-minute warning at 4 minutes.
Yep.
And who is it that needs to share?
I still did not get the message. Okay, I got it now. Yep. All right. Can you see my screen?
We can. It's not in power. It's not in presentation mode, but we do see it.
I will do that.
All right. We can see it.
All right. Okay. So it's very similar. Most of the slides are the same as in the last meeting. I talked about the ground-mounted equipment. And I got a lot of feedback from the committee members about PV systems. So what we did is we expanded the scope of work to include ballasted PV systems, ground-mounted PV systems. And I added a couple of slides. Everything else remains the same. So let me go quickly through the first slide, and then I'm going to explain a little bit more about what we intend to do in terms of PV-specific topics. So the idea started from anything that is considered in as a ground-mounted equipment for residential applications. Mostly, I guess the most common type of equipment is related to air conditioning, so HVAC systems. But there are like applications related to solar energy or some other like, you know, power generators and things like that. And there is a need. We started looking into the codes and what exists right now. These are like some typical examples of the systems that we had in mind. And I think I tried to explain that in my last presentation. Backtracking started from the FPC 2020, redirect the user to the 2007 version. There is an exemption related specifically to the exposed mechanical equipment or appliances fastened to a roof or installed on the ground, so the ground is here. We go to the 2007, and then there is one more reference here, so redirect the design to the ASC 705 now, so we go back 15 years. And when we went to the 705 or even 722, we realized that there's not much information. There is a section there, but there is a comment which is at the bottom of this slide that says, with the exception of the figures that, you know, discuss this topic, the pressure and force coefficient values in these tables are unchanged from ANSI 1972. So short story, long story short, starting from the 2020 FPC, we ended up back in 1972, and everything that you have there is basically not that much reliable. It has been done in non-ABL atmospheric boundary level tunnels, and there is a need to do a lot more, obviously. So that was the, you know, the introduction for the ground-mounted equipment. Now, what we added is there was a lot of like comments. I think several like committee members, they talked about PV. Obviously, there is a big issue there following IRMA and other like, you know, recent events. We documented a lot of like damage following those extreme wind events. So basically, we said, okay, we can expand the scope of work to a certain degree. It's a very broad topic when we deal with solar panels. There are a lot of groups that are doing work on this in this area. But so far, most of this work has been focusing on roof-mounted PV systems. And as a result, we ended up having a new section in ASC 716, which includes now design recommendation for rooftop PV systems. But there is nothing for ground-mounted systems. And that's basically what we thought we can add to this project. We deal with ground-mounted equipment. We can expand and include or consider ground-mounted equipment, those like PV systems.
Now, given that,
sorry?
1 minute.
Yes. So we have done a lot of like wind tunnel testing or wall of wind testing on these systems. You can see here we have been focusing lately on vibration issues. You on the left you see a ground-mounted system, not balanced. And on the right, the other video, the rooftop mounted solar PV system. And we have done also like studies on scaled models, we scaled down things. So the focus of this work is ground-mounted balanced systems. And we selected that because we have an ongoing project funded by National Science Foundation that is going to look on the same system but rooftop only. And we thought we can piggyback to that research and use the same PV panel system and put it on the ground and add it to this. So there's going to be, we're going to do balanced systems, ground-mounted, and we believe that there is value on doing that.
Great. That's your time. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have a last second? Go ahead if you need another second.
No, it's fine. This is like basically a summary of what we propose that we're going to do, which I discussed last time. But the main point is that we added the ground-mounted PV systems. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate the presentation and the time list. Does any committee member have a question they'd like to ask of the principal investigator before we go to the next proposal?
Snellman?
Sure, Jeff, go ahead.
I am not familiar with ground-mounted ballasted system. Am I correct that it is some mechanism of weighting it so that it doesn't blow away?
Would you like to respond to that? Go ahead.
Yeah, we collaborate with different manufacturers, and there are like some applications. It's not as, I guess, broadly used as the, you know, the solar tankers or other utility scale systems, but there are issues with balancing systems as well.
Okay. Any other committee member have any questions before we move on to our second presentation?
Belcher, comment?
Go ahead, Joe. I'd rather wait till we'll have an opportunity. You're on the committee.
I'll wait.
Yeah. So after we hear from the public, we'll let you guys have any general comments you want to make before we do the ranking. You know, you can speak about any of these you wish to, and then we'll do the ranking, so you'll have an opportunity. But for now, let's just stick to questions that you need to ask the principal investigator. Thanks, Joe. Anybody else?
This is Ann Cope. I have a question.
Sure, Ann. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi there. Ianis, I was curious, does your research include a look at the ASCE-7 provisions for ground-mounted solar? Are you going to compare your results to what's already in ASCE-7?
I guess in the proposed work, we said that we're going to do both. We're going to do the comparisons both for the ground-mounted equipment, which is supposed to be done on, like, you know, non-ABL flow, and we're going to extend, obviously, for the PV panels. But the 716, which is adopted by SBC, has only the rooftop, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. It might have been the latest version of ASC 722 that has the ground mounted. Okay, thank you.
That's correct. All right,
I just wanted to ask, are you going to be using any of the data gathered by the MAT teams, the FEMA MAT teams, after the hurricane that went through the Virgin Islands? I know that they had several images of ground ballast systems, some that failed, some that didn't, and I would imagine it had to do with exposure. On the structures of, well, not structures, but rather on the mountains, on the leeward side, etc.
Discussion started. Now, I don't want to, like, you know, overpromise here. There are several reports, not only from FEMA, but other, like, groups as well. And we're going to review, you know, the type of damage that this system experienced. So in terms of direct comparison, we're going to get data, so we're going to have force coefficients. To some extent, we want to see, or we want to go back and see what happened, you know, during those events and try to understand more. But, you know, that is a completely different approach, you know.
All right. Any other committee member questions before we move on? All right. Thank you so much for your presentation.
If I can, 5 seconds, Jeff, quickly, I have added another slide because there is a major event that is happening at FIU today, and we have a few people there, the team administrator, White House is there, Florida DEM, and NSF, and they're announcing a new, I guess, like, strategy. FEMA administrator will announce a new strategy on building codes. So I think it's very relevant to what this committee is doing. So there's going to be more, I guess, later today about this.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We're going to move on to Project B, assessing the need to modernize water penetration resistance test procedures, University of Florida. Forest Masters with a budget of $120,000 with, I guess, an opportunity to reduce to 90. Forrest, would you like to have your time for a presentation?
Jeff, my name is Ryan Cattarelli. I will be serving as PI on the project, so I'd like to say a few words about it, if that's all right.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, thank you. All right, well, can everyone hear me?
We can.
All right, great. Well, hello, everyone. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to present our proposal. My name is Ryan Cattarelli. I'm a research scientist at the University of Florida. I'm going to be discussing the proposal titled Assessing the Need to Modernize Water Penetration Resistance Test Procedures. So our proposal is to study the existing static and dynamic water penetration test procedures for building envelope systems to assess the need whether or not modernization of the procedures is needed, the ones that are used for product approval. So TAS 202, ASTM E331, ASTM 547, and others. These procedures, they apply at enveloped pressure and wetting conditions and conservatively simulate hurricane wind and wind-driven rain effects. These procedures are good first approximators for evaluating the product performance. But they really haven't benefited from the advances in scientific knowledge and technology that have occurred over the several decades since they were created. And so some of the topics that we'd like to consider for study include the steady pressure and wetting conditions that exist in the tests, as they don't really reflect what occurs during a hurricane. There's turbulence in the upwind approach flow and flow distortion around the building that cause significant spatiotemporal variation in the pressures acting on the building surfaces. The cyclic pressure tests, those procedures do allow for lulls in the pressure that promote drainage of fenestration systems, but they're not really representative of real-world rates of pressure fluctuation, so we'd like to study that. Another thing that we'd like to look at is the major but easily addressable knowledge gap concerning wind load intensity definition, namely the 15% design pressure for fenestration in water infiltration tests. We'd also like to look at the basis for the current minimum wetting rate of 5 gallons per hour per square foot, because this originates from a trial and error testing process to determine the threshold required to cause uniform sheeting on a curtain wall. And this really doesn't consider key factors such as climatology, approach wind speed, location on the building, and other factors. And then finally, defining failure as a single drop passing into the building interior isn't really a representative measure of the total water damage, because it's really the unmanaged accumulation of water over an entire hurricane episode that's really the principal driver of, for damage to walls, interiors, and building contents. So our research approach will be to simulate hurricane wind pressure conditions on building envelope systems. Since the full-scale exterior wall surface measurements aren't really readily available, we'd like to synthesize them in a process that I'll just kind of briefly lay out here. So we will look at the full duration historical hurricane track and intensity records from a large set of intense hurricanes, and we'll take those, envelope those, and synthesize a velocity pressure time history. And also, in addition to that, we'll take fluctuating surface pressure coefficient records extracted from boundary layer wind tunnel modeling of low-rise buildings, and we'll extract a worst-case situation, and then we'll take that model scale pressure coefficient record and convert it to an equivalent full-scale dynamic pressure using that hurricane trace. And similarly, we'll take the velocity-dependent wetting rates, which can be derived from from available sources such as climatological studies, satellite and radar-based measurements. So we'll take that time-varying load sequence and use our high-performance pressure loading actuator, which can reproduce those conditions on a building envelope system. In addition to this, it's anticipated that our research and design will include standard static and cyclic testing procedures and a few other things. Our anticipated deliverables include the formation of a stakeholder advisory group to guide the research program. We'll also provide research and results and analysis from all of the tests that I described above. And we intend to provide guidance regarding the implementation of an improved testing procedure and insight on how to correlate the current testing procedures to the potential new methods. And our preliminary budget estimate ranges between $90,000 and $120,000. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for your time and consideration. And with that, I will conclude and just say thank you.
Thank you. Right on time. Does any committee member have any clarifying questions to Ryan regarding the proposal? Okay, very good. Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate it. We'll now move on to our third Project C, which is assessment of durability requirements for concrete structures in Florida. Possible University of Florida proposal from Chris Ferraro for $100,000. Is Chris or some other representative for the proposal wish to speak? All right. Is there anybody from UF who is here to speak on this proposal? Just make sure you're not muted if you're trying to speak. I don't see anybody specifically. All right, we'll move on to the next one then. So next is assessment of inspection reporting and building conditions in South Florida, Phase 2, University of Florida, Jennifer Bridge, $90,000. Jennifer, are you on?
I am on. I'd love to share my screen if I could.
Okay. And I'll wait to start your time until you've got yourself set up, and I'll give you a 1 minute warning. Again, you have 5 minutes.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so y'all are able to see my screen in presentation mode, I hope.
We are, and it looks fine.
Okay. All right, so yes, this is a phase two. I think most of you know that we have been working on the phase one project. We've just submitted the draft final report for this. And we've done a lot of work in this initial study. It started last September, but, you know, we're kind of just getting going, and we'd like to continue the work. I don't want to say we're just getting going. We've actually made some great conclusions, but there's room for extending the work we've done. So, let's see, just some background on the initial project. We were seeking to provide a comprehensive overview of reported building conditions through investigation of inspection reports from both Miami-Dade and Broward counties. And to do this, we wanted to also provide a broad assessment of not just the building conditions, but the building inspection and maintenance practices. I don't want to preempt the results because I think we'll have an opportunity to present those in the next month or so. But we received about 300 reports that could be used for an analysis. We received about 70% of the reports we requested. And our results showed that about 26 of the 40-year inspection reports that we analyzed required some repair for structures. Our analysis shows that there's some indication that the requirements for repairs decreased from between 40-year inspection reports and 50-year inspection reports, where those are both available. So that kind of indicates that this maintenance required as a result of the inspection does improve kind of efforts to maintain the structure. We did see a slightly higher rate of repairs required for buildings that were closer to the coast, and we provided some pretty comprehensive recommendations for improvement to inspection practices and record management. One thing to note, and this is kind of feeds into some of the work we want to do in this phase too, is that, you know, of course, hidden defects, you know, this challenge of corrosion in particular, are not necessarily being captured with visual inspections, and we found that 80% of the reports said that corrosion was not visible, and that may or may not indicate that there is not corrosion. And so that's something that we want to look at a little further. There were some ongoing questions related to the appropriate age at which to start these milestone inspections, the intervals at which they should occur, and whether, you know, proximity to the coast should have an impact on when and how often the inspections occur. Now, obviously, the new legislation, you know, really changes things, or at least provides some additional motivation. We now know that there's a statewide mandate for milestone inspections of condos, and there's some opportunity to provide recommendations for inspection and structural assessment practices. And so that's kind of the motivation for what we want to do. And I'll go through this pretty quickly. So our primary objective is we want to increase the number and quality of pre-repair inspection reports. So we got a lot of a mixed bag in terms of what we received in terms of inspection reporting. We've honed our, we now know what we need to request. We now know the responsive jurisdictions, and we now have a kind of system in place for extracting the data in a very consistent way so that we can report on it. And now that we've done that, we're kind of set to be able to add to our data set, essentially, now that we kind of have a system in place that'll be able to provide it. You know, a kind of more statistically significant data set. We also want to provide and catalog kind of an objective assessment of destructive and non-destructive structural inspection technologies that can be kind of augment the inspection process, especially with the new legislation with the phase two inspections where, you know, if there's been structural integrity challenges found, they can go in and do, you know, more destructive and non-destructive testing. But I think that there's a need for really understanding what technologies are viable, how well they work, what kind of access requirements and training requirements that they have, and then continue to add to our recommendations for inspection, assessment, and reporting practices based on this larger, more comprehensive data set. So we've got three tasks we propose. The first is essentially to get more... get more inspection reports and really improve the quality of inspection reporting, kind of now that we know what it is we need to ask for. With the same address, where possible, we'd like to get historical subsequent reports, so, you know, 40, 50, 60, so we can really look at the impacts of the inspection process. And then also considering making requests based on the recent legislation, so focusing on buildings that are consistent with the new requirements. Do additional data aggregation analysis. And I'll just kind of move through this quickly. And then the last task is to do this landscape assessment of inspection technologies. And like I said, looking at cost, reliability, technological maturity, access requirements, training requirements, so that these can be considered for inclusion in the inspection process. So that ends my presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Right on time. Perfect. Thank you. Committee members, any questions to Jennifer on UF's proposal?
Yeah, Compton.
Sure, Dave. Go ahead.
I'm kind of concerned with this now with the recent Senate bill. It sounds like there's an overlap. I mean, we've already got a schedule handled to us through the Senate bill. We know the type of information that they generally want in the reports for these inspections. I'm just wondering if there's a lot of overlap, which has already been prescribed to us in the Senate bill, and a lot of the research that you're looking to do with this task.
Yeah, so we submitted this. I don't know when we first submitted this, but obviously prior to the most recent legislation. And so, you know, there's an opportunity here to maybe adjust the scope accordingly based on the most recent legislation. But there's also an opportunity for providing recommendations based on the new legislation. And I think that continuing this effort can certainly help in doing that. I'm not sure if that answers the question. If that's the overlap that you're referring to.
I think you could tailor this to the new Senate bill. I think this might actually be very helpful. Not looking at the inspection technology, I think that would be helpful no matter what. But some of the upfront stuff, the task one and possibly task two, if it was geared more towards the Senate bill, I think this might become useful.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I think we have the groundwork here. We've done a lot of work, and now we're in a great position to be responsive to the new legislation, and I'm certainly open to scope adjustments accordingly.
Jeff, just another, is she able to adjust the scope as this goes along, or is it this is the scope and that's what we're voting on?
Commissioner Kahn and Compton, it's Tom Campbell. Staff, we always look to adjust scopes as necessary. So I would vote on this with the idea in mind that it can be tailored to work hand in hand with the commission's assignments in that piece of legislation.
Thank you. Good point, Tom. In fact, the motion that is being proposed and that you've always made in the past, and the same one that the commission has always used all these years since 2005 when we started this, is that your recommendation is the commission approve funding based on your priority and to charge staff with contracting, administering, and overseeing the research and negotiating scoping and funding levels as appropriate. So there's complete flexibility for Mo and his team to figure out what the best usage and the best, most appropriate scoping would be. Okay. Any other
Wisich
questions?
Wisich has a question.
I'm sorry?
Wisich has a question.
Go ahead.
Can you provide clarity on the repairs? How do you classify the repairs? I mean, are we talking structural repairs only, or are they major structural repairs? Are they minor structural repairs? Can you kind of speak to all of that and how you plan to address that?
Yes. So the stat that I said, you know, about a quarter of the inspection reports indicated that repairs are required. That's just any repair. It's structural specific, but it's not getting into the degree of severity. In our final report, you will see where we do break it down a little bit more in terms of, you know, what specific defects were found, and then we are able to kind of specify the severity. For example, the extent of cracking or corrosion that was found. I do want to say, and this is, again, in our final report, we had to really do, a big part of what we did was standardizing what we were getting from these inspection reports. There was not a lot of consistency in how things were reported, and we made our best effort and documented how we were able to consistently report on that. But that's actually one of our recommendations, is to have a little bit more granularity and consistency in how some of these defects are reported.
Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? All right. Thank you, Jennifer. We'll move on to Project Project E, which is an investigation of factors leading to ridge vent failure and possible mitigation solutions, University of North Florida, Sigdem Aachen. It's a $77,600 and $16 proposal.
Hello. Can you hear me? Good afternoon.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, can I also share my screen if possible?
Sure, and I'll wait till you're ready to start your time, and I'll give you the one-minute warning. Again, 5 minutes.
Thank you. So can you see my screen?
We can.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So good afternoon, everyone. And this year, I kept my presentation kind of only to one slide. I think last year I kind of prepared longer than I was given. Anyway, so my proposal is about, you know, investigating the factors that leads to ridge vent failure. So this is one of the FEMA topics. You know, FEMA suggested research topic, which is the research topic number two, suggested on this year's guidelines. And, you know, since I'm more on the modeling side, and we do not really have a, you know, wind tunnel here, so I thought that I could actually, you know, do the, this type of test in by designing a computational wind tunnel, which is, you know, would be, if you can imagine, like a really big, you know, wind tunnel. So this will be your computational domain. So what you are looking at here is that this the outer box that is dashed line. That will be your computational domain, and that will be, you know, kind of a larger box. That's why the house there seems like smaller. Then, you know, you will place your house model, you know, together with the, you know, ridge vent, you know, attached to it. And then, you know, I gave some one orientation here, but, you know, there are several things you can do in this setup, though. So you can determine on, you know, the wind load, right? Because the whole idea is that, okay, you want to know why the ridge vent failure. So if it fails, obviously, you know, the rain is going to infiltrate, and if you think about all the, you know, structures, or most common structures, all the houses, you know, they will have significant, you know, water damage, and therefore it might actually cause the whole structure being maybe, you know, unrepairably damaged. So the idea here is that to investigate that, and then we can identify maybe, you know, certain scenarios where we see that, you know, the failure definitely happens. Then you can start, you know, offering possible mitigation solutions. And you can, you know, refine this study further if this, you know, first stage works, which I will talk about, you know, kind of towards the end. So a couple of things I thought, you know, could be done is that because this is kind of a controlled environment, like, but in a numerical sense, so you can actually determine, the, you know, what you are inputting into the system. So you can change things like, you know, what the wind speed is, you know, what the wind direction is. So you can give these, you know, as parameters, and then, you know, set the environment, you know, in that way. And then, you know, examine and see, you know, what's happening, you know, to this house, basically, you know, what the stress areas are. And that will give you a good idea about, you know, what's happening. And notice that, you know, in this setup, this house picture that I put there is kind of an oriented way. So there are a couple of other things that you could do is, you can basically, you know, take a look and then, you know, see, for example, how the house is oriented, right? So keep the, wind condition the constant, maybe, you know, change the either house orientation or ridge vent. So if you, you know, see all the houses, they have, you know, these vents in different, places. So you can, you know, take a look at those too. So those will give the initial idea about, you know, the relationship kind of, you know, the wind speed, you know, the angle versus, you know, how the ridge is oriented. So you can come up with this, you know, initial understanding of, you know, how things work in the system. Then again, if you want to do, you know, further refined study, maybe if the factors, Yanis, you know, want to work, maybe you can, you know, have the actual ridge vent, you know, once you refine those parameters and, you know, create those scenarios that are, you know, refiner or refine settings. And also you can do the, you know, kind of similar setup in the, in a numerical sense, you know, have a very refined version of this, and then you look at those.
You have 1 minute,
sorry? Okay, yeah. Thank you. Again, you know, to kind of summarize, this is the, you know, initial thinking to identify, you know, what factors would lead in terms of the, you know, main parameters that, you know, a house would basically face in a condition where, you know, the wind speed maybe exceeds a certain value, or, you know, maybe, again, you can also control the duration, you know, with this. So maybe, you know, the wind is blowing at a certain, you know, period of time with a certain speed, and that causes a problem, right? Those type of things. So maybe it eventually causes the ridge to, you know, fail. So the thing is, you know, you can actually run many scenarios like this. That's kind of the, you know, I think advantage of the numerical modeling. And, you know, this has been done before. They generally do this type of study, very common in, you know, when you have like high buildings. Especially
in downtown. Time to wrap, if you could just wrap up with this.
Anyway, yeah, this is the overall what the project is about. So if you have any questions, I
would be happy to answer. Great, thank you. Committee members, do you have any questions to Sigmund's presentation? Okay, we appreciate it. Well, let's move on then to our sixth and final research project. And this is Project F, which is to establishing inspection periods for preventive measures for mid-rise buildings near coastal inland South Florida environments from FIU. Adarad Azmi is in the nominee. I mean, it probably didn't do a good job.
Perfect. All right. Is it possible for me to show my screen too?
Absolutely. Once you get started, I'll start the timer and give you a 1 minute warning.
Yep. I don't know. Can you see my screen?
We can see a Word document, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Let me just reduce this. Okay. Great. First of all, thanks for the opportunity. Let me just give you just a little background. After the Surfside building collapse, we undertook several initiatives. Our team members are Dr. Joe Colasso, who was involved in design of the John Hancock Building in Chicago, Larry Griffiths, designer of the moving roof in the Dallas Cowboys at Martin Stadium. So we are looking at the several aspects of the issues related to the collapse of the Surfside Building, and when we heard that Sergio shared with us that there is an interest in order to establish the inspection period, initial and the subsequent inspection period for the mid-rise to high-rise buildings and due to the corrosion, basically scientifically due to the corrosion, carbonations, and so on. So we thought that, well, we have ongoing projects. In fact, there's a couple of very specific ones. We are looking at, for example, the retrofitting of the columns that are deficient. And we thought that some of this work, we can very easily add on to it the type of the experiment that is needed in order to develop the information that can shed light into the inspection cycle. So I'm going to just elaborate on some of them for you. So I don't want to go too much in detail and bore you. We are using some advanced materials that is available in the market. We have a non-proprietary version of it in the UHPC. And what you see basically, it's very durable material. So let me just say the left-hand side, it's a normal strength concrete. The higher the vertical axis means that there's more corrosion activity. The right-hand side uses this advanced material that is really no corrosion. So we are going to be testing some really fairly large scale specimen that represents a column. So before testing these, we are going to run some tests trying to see that what are the rates of the basically the carbon dioxide to penetrate through these columns and cause a corrosion and generate this additional information that can help us to establish basically the inspection period. Some of the work that we are doing, for example, in this, what you are seeing in my screen on the left-hand side, the cross-section representing a column that needs to be retrofitted, and then the middle one is retrofitted using a normal strength concrete. Right-hand side is representing Stern Family, the UHPC. So our idea is that to be proactive. Another way, not only find out, for example, what the rate of the basically the this ingress of the basically the element that causes corrosion is, but also what kind of preventive measure can we make. For example, if I had wrapped this one, let's say, with the UHPC, am I going to be able to protect it? Am I going to be able to choke the system so that the further corrosion doesn't take place? Actually, here with me, Dr. Kingsley-Law, our corrosion expert that is also part of the project that we're working on. We have also developed a method, actually, this is very interesting, that in actually 20 minutes, we can actually mount this to the surface of a concrete and qualitatively assess the relative quality of the concrete, basically. So we want to tie all this, basically do some small experiment. We've got enough equipment, basically, to do the basically the carbonation test and so on. And so in summary, really, we are trying to add on to some of our ongoing projects that are funded from other sources and develop the information that we can shed light into inspection period, what should be based on scientifically. And again, our team is a very practical, Dr. Joe Colosso.
1 minute, please.
Thank you. And I'm going to conclude this. The team is very practical. We've been looking at this problem since the collapse of the building, and we thought that this is a great opportunity to be working with our, basically, in our backyard. We've been concentrating so much at the national level, we thought that maybe this would be a good opportunity to work with the Miami Dade. So that concludes my talk. Thank you.
Great, thank you. All right, any committee members have any questions they'd like to ask?
Belcher.
Joe, go ahead.
Yes, I'm interested in your the in-situ testing you're talking about, making an evaluation in less than 30 minutes. Is that, it's talking about using pressure. Is there a coring of the existing columns involved there? Is this some kind of a non-destructive method?
Yeah, let me show you. Still see my screen, right?
No.
No.
You don't see my screen?
We're seeing the agenda.
Okay. Let me, do you see my screen now?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. What we are doing, basically, this is for cylinder, but we can mount to the surface. So we apply a liquid at the 200 PSI pressure, okay? So every 0.433 PSI pressure is equivalent to having surface of the concrete under the 1 foot of water, of basically, let's say, water, okay? So when you apply 200 PSI pressure, it's like having this thing under the, like, a 400 feet of water, okay? And we measure, basically, we monitor the pressure versus the time. So it's not destructive. It's just measuring how much water penetrates through the surface. And in fact, this one we can mount, let's say, through the column, through the slab, to the balcony. Actually, this one has a lot of application to the balcony. We can assess the. Now, what we are doing, we have ongoing research projects that we are relating the relation between the time versus the pressure to the freeze and thaw and rapid chloride permeability test, which is a standard ASTM test. So this test in the field, we can do it in 20 minutes and then relate it to freeze and thaw test and the rapid chloride permeability test that takes months to complete. So this is a new test that we have developed. In fact, yeah, at FIU, good story. Good Morning America wanted to come to our campus and wanted to assess the, physically see the, what is the durability of the UHPC versus normal stem concrete. We searched for a test. We couldn't find it, so we developed our own test. That's where the history of it is.
So this would tell you how quickly a corrosive material, salt water, whatever, could penetrate the concrete. Is that basically what you're learning
here? Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
From that you could
make a determination as to what you think might be the condition inside an existing column.
No. We cannot. This is just saying that what the quality of the concrete is. But if you know that the quality concrete is bad, so that means that, for example, we use a so-called the fixed second law to calculate how long does it take for the chloride to penetrate and destroy that protection that the concrete is providing and start the corrosion. So this will tell you, I mean, how severe the problem is.
And then you can take further steps.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, any other committee members have any questions? All right, appreciate the presentation. So what we're going to do now is go to take public comment. We're going to have a strict limit of 3 minutes per person. I'll give a 1 minute warning. Then we'll come back to the committee, let you have any general discussion you want to have, and then we'll conduct the ranking exercise. If you're from any member of the public who wishes to speak, I'd like first you just to give me your name and representation, and we'll go from there. Does anybody from the public wish to comment? Going once, twice, great. Okay, thank you. Then we will come back to the committee. So committee members, before we conduct the ranking exercise, you can have a general discussion or make any comments you wish to make. I'll open it up to the floor. Again, if you'd say your name, and we'll have an orderly discussion.
Hey, Jim Schock here.
Sure, Jim, go ahead.
And thinking about what Commissioner Coffin said earlier too, a lot of these projects that have to do with what happened at Surfside, I know the legislation spelled out a time period and things like that, but I believe our charge is to report back to the legislature on their process, on the systems, and on the inspection criteria and so forth. But I think a lot of these are important, even if time periods have already been established, in that recommendations to the legislature may help us correct some of those time periods if they're incorrect. And I think it's important from a cost standpoint for the owners of the condominiums and so forth that we do this to assure not only safety but economic responsibility.
Okay.
Captain.
Right, thank you. Dave, go ahead.
I understand what Jim is saying, but you need to understand too that the recommendations that are in that Senate bill came from a working group of experts. I understand there's always need for research in anything, but you know they've already had a group of experts kind of come up with some sort of timeline with this. So I don't know if our money is best spent right now trying to figure out timelines. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Belcher.
Joe.
Yeah, I basically have a question. Could Tom or Mo or somebody just briefly give us what those timelines were in the bills that we're talking about? What the task we've been charged with, sir?
Yeah, I'll leave it up to.
I think this is Mo Madani. I can see if I can give you those. For, I believe it's the Condominium Association under Chapter, blah, 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 3-story or more in height. For 30 years of age based on the date, the certificate of occupancy, and every 10 years. So 30 years. And 10 years, or in general. If the building is located within 3 miles of the coastal line, as defined in Florida Statute 376.031, the Condominium Association, or et cetera, it's required 25 years of age, and every 10 years thereafter. That's really what you have in there. So 30 and 10 and 25 and 10. Let's see here. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, Mo, you are correct. Those are the two time frames that are laid out in the bill. I just wanted to add that beyond the inspection requirements that have been written into the bill specifically. specifically. The commission has also been tasked with two sets of recommendations that it's going to be required to develop for the legislature. The first set of recommendations is to review those inspection requirements in the statute and to provide any recommendations that the commission thinks is appropriate to identify entrainment and to ensure that the inspections are actually getting to the structural integrity of the building and the second set of recommendations that the commission is going to be tasked with developing is to come up with its own set of standards for all the building types for that are three stories or high or higher, and we're going to come up with recommendations for what those inspections and the maintenance of those buildings could look like. So I think the research projects would be important to help inform the commission in the development of those sets of recommendations.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Any other discussion before we break? Who's that?
Yes, yeah. Tom Grogan. I represent the Florida Structural Engineers Association.
Yeah, sorry, we're not taking public comment right now, Tom. We're only...
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, no problem. We're at the committee level.
Okay. Vince Sayhouse here. I just want to make a note that 4D doesn't include the electrical component that Miami-Dade County has. It's going to be a 30 and 10 unless you're 3 miles within the coast, and it's 25 and 10. For recertification. It's also specifically the condominium buildings are cooperative buildings. So there's a lot of inventory of existing buildings that doesn't fall into that criteria. So it's not a waste to do our own research in the open and in public so that we have the best available data. Like Chairman Schock pointed out, we may uncover something that would correct an emotional response from the powers that be, and with the most amount of data, the best educated decisions can be made. Keeping in mind that NIST is, I believe, still pretty far out from determining a cause of the tragedy at Surfside, but that should not preclude us from going forward and finding the best available information to provide for the welfare and safety of our community. Thank you.
Commissioner Compton, go ahead, Dave.
Sorry about all these guys again. But I do feel that the Senate bill has kind of muddied the waters here a little bit as far as our research here. But Tom, you had mentioned the additional requirements that the commission has, and I know there's one coming up, I think at the end of 23 or whatever it is, but are we going to have the opportunity to do research projects specific to those tasks that are in the Senate bill for us, or is this our opportunity this year with the choices that we have?
Ideally, we would want to marry them together because there's no appropriation in the bill for additional money to conduct any research related to those recommendations.
Thank you.
Okay. Any additional committee members have any comments?
Gentlemen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
When we first started this, one of the comments that I heard over and over was that we wanted to be able to look at this and avoid a political reaction to this, which obviously that didn't happen. We had a political reaction at the state level. We've had political reactions at a couple either cities or counties in South Florida. And now we have the opportunity to see if those made sense or if they don't make sense. And I an assessment of what are the current standards and inspection processes that are existing and do an analysis of how different people are approaching it, what the inspection guidelines are. And as a builder, one of the things that we have long desired is same process across municipalities, recognizing the differences in geography and, you know, near the coast, wind velocity zones are different. As long as those things are the same in adjoining counties that have the same condition. And I think that this research that's coming from the University of Florida, I think it was number 4 on the list, would make sense to be done because, you know, the state legislation that was done very, very quickly, and it was political. We want to make sure that we have processes and requirements in place that make good sense and that people can follow. Thank you.
All right. Any other committee members have any comments before we rank?
Yes, if I may, and you tell me if this is appropriate or not, but I would like to hear from Mr. Grogan. I know Tom has been involved with a lot of this stuff, and it sounded like he just wanted to clarify or add to a conversation that started after public comment. So if it's permissible.
Sure, Jim. Absolutely. I think that's your prerogative, and that's fine. Go ahead.
Tom, if you'd like to speak.
Sure. Thank you, Jim. So I'm Tom Grogan. I'm with the Florida Structural Engineers Association, but today I'm talking on behalf of them and the Florida Engineering Society. Anyway, we've been very heavily involved with everything that the working group put together that came to the recommendations that went in front of the legislature, and of course it started being global and it got narrowed down to a kind of thing, which is what you're seeing here. The point that I wanted to bring up, and I'm happy to answer other questions, was that there is some verbiage that's in the language there that we believe needs to be tweaked in terms of who is able, the requirements of somebody who can do a phase two structural inspection. And I don't know where the process is for us to get that to happen, but there's specific verbiage in the legislation that basically gives the Florida Building Commission the right, and I believe it starts on, line 342 of the legislation. You'll review the milestone inspection requirements and make recommendations to ensure that what's stated here is sufficient. And so obviously we would like to talk about that at some point, and this may not be the place for it, because it's my understanding it's just a tactic. But I can also answer any questions anyone has. I've been involved with this since the buildings went down, along with several other people that are on this call today.
I'm going to defer to Tom Campbell, but maybe the rule development workshop. Tom, what's your opinion?
Mr. Grogan, what will happen, and we'll be discussing it at the commission meeting, is that likely the commission will be forming another work group that will meet to develop those recommendations, and that'll all be posted online and available for the public to participate in. So just be on the lookout for that. But we will be talking more about those two assignments at the commission meeting on June 7th.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that, and we welcome an opportunity to help you guys with any of that stuff as it deemed appropriate.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Any other committee members before we do our ranking? And this is going to take a bit of time to do, folks. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and do the ranking. So I'm just going to briefly review. I hate to do this again. Jim, let's try the screen one more time for me, if you would. Thank you. presume that you are seeing my screen, yes?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to rank each of these on a 10-point scale. I'm just going to call you each of you by name in turn, and Tom's going to record those on a document, and then he's going to give me the totals, which I will plug into the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet will give the average and the overall rank of the six projects in play. So we have Project A, wind-induced loads on ground-mounted and ground-ballasted systems. Project B, assessing the need to modernize water penetration resistant test procedures. Project C, assessment of durability requirements for concrete structures in Florida. Project D, assessment of inspection reporting and building conditions in South Florida, with a sort of a request that the research be tailored to the scope of work for the research be tailored to Senate Bill 4D requirement. Project E, an investigation of the factors leading to the ridge vent failure and possible mitigation solutions. And then finally, Project F, establishing inspection periods for preventive measures for mid-rise buildings near coastal and inland South Florida enhancements. And I think if Tom accurately articulated that, you're going to rank each of these on a 10-point scale. So you're not really ranking one against the other. The average on a 10-point scale has enough variation that it will separate the projects out. But in your mind, you're thinking about your top three for potential for, likely funding initially. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. You're familiar with the scale, 10, the highest level of priority from your perspective, down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, down to 1, the lowest possible, not important at all. We'll ask each of you your rank on each one. We'll tally them, and then we'll get the results for how they are. And then we'll ask for a motion at the end that the committee would recommend the commission approve funding the research projects for the fiscal year based on your recommended priority order, and charging staff with contracting, administering, and overseeing the research, and negotiating scoping and funding levels as appropriate. If anybody, unless there's a question from a committee member on the process, we're going to go ahead and start with the first project, Project A, which is the wind induced loads on ground-mounted and ground-ballasted systems. When I call your name, just give me a number. And Tom, you're ready there, correct?
Yes.
Very good. Commissioner Schock, what's your score on the project? First project?
Two.
Okay. Sergio is not here. Joe Belcher?
Two. Had to unmute.
Another two. Dave Compton?
I'm going to say one, but two works.
All right. We have three twos at this point. Ann Cope?
Three.
A three. Jeff Gross?
Two.
Another two. Mark Michelson?
Two.
A two. Craig Perino?
Four.
A four. John Plissage?
Four.
Another four. I don't think Mike Savage is on unless he's joined. Angela Shadle?
Three.
A three. Brad Schiffer?
Five.
A five. Jeff Schnellman?
Four.
Four. Vince Seha?
Seven.
And Brian Slope?
Two.
Okay, Tom, if you would give me the totals for each number in order, starting with the highest.
I have 1-7, 1-5, 3-4s, 2-3s, and 6-2s.
6, 8, 9, 10, 13, that tallied. So that's what happened to my screen. All right, so that averages out as a 4.3. Let's go to the next project. Assessing the need to modernize water penetration resistance test procedures. Commissioner Schock.
Sorry about that. Six.
Six. Joe?
Five.
David?
Five.
Ann?
Nine.
Jeff? Close, that is?
Five.
Five. Mark?
Nine.
Nine.
Angela.
Six.
Brad.
A nine.
Jeff Schnellman.
Four.
Vince.
A nine.
And Brian.
Aye.
A nine. All right, Tom, what's our scores?
I have six nines, one eight, two sixes, three fives, and 1 4.
All right, that averages at 7.2. All right, we move on to our third project C, which is assessment of durability requirements for concrete structures in Florida. Jim?
Eight.
Joe?
Five.
David?
Nine.
Ann?
Three.
Commissioner Gross?
Six.
Mark?
Four.
Craig?
Four.
John?
Eight.
Angela?
Five.
Brad?
Seven.
Jeff Schnellman?
Six.
Vince? Vince?
I'm sorry, six.
Six? Okay, and Brian?
Five.
A five. All right, Tom, when you're ready.
I have 1 9, 2 8, 1 7, 3 6s, 3 5s, 2 4s, and 1 3.
All right, that averages out at 5.8. Okay, then we come to our fourth project D, assessment of inspection reporting and building conditions in South Florida Phase 2, with tailoring the scope of work to the Senate Bill for D requirements. Okay, Commissioner Schock, Jim.
10.
10. Joe.
10.
10. David.
10.
10. Ann?
Eight.
Eight. Commissioner Gross, Jeff?
10.
10. Mark?
Eight.
Eight. Craig?
Eight.
Eight. John?
10.
10. Angela?
10.
Did you say one?
Nine.
Oh, nine, sorry. Thank you. Angela's a nine, not a one. Okay, Brad?
A nine.
A nine. Jeff Schnellman?
10.
A 10. Vince?
Nine.
A nine. Brian?
Nine.
A nine. All right, Tom?
We have 6 10s, 4 9s, and 3 8.
All right. That ranks at 9.6, which is currently in the first place, with two projects remaining to be ranked. Okay, an investigation of the factors leading to ridge vent failure and possible mitigation solutions. Jim?
Four.
Four? Joe?
Three.
A three. David?
Four.
A four. Ann?
Three.
A three. Commissioner Gross, Jeff?
Four.
A four. Mark?
Three.
A three. Craig?
Four.
A four. John?
Seven.
A seven. Angela?
Six.
A six. Brad?
Eight.
An eight. Jeff Schnellman?
Seven.
7. Vince.
A 2.
2. Brian.
4.
A 4. All right, Tom, when you're ready.
1-8, 2-7s, 1-6, 5-4s, 3-3s, and 1-2.
All right, that comes to a 4.75 out of 10 average. And our last project, establishing inspection periods for preventive measures for mid-rise buildings near coastal and inland South Florida environments. Jim Schock.
10.
A 10. Joe Belcher. Joe.
10.
A 10. David.
Got 9.
9. Ann.
7.
7. Jeff Gross, Commissioner Gross.
8.
An 8. Mark.
7.
7. Craig.
7.
7. John.
8.
An 8. Angela.
7.
7. Brad.
7.
7. Jeff Schnellman.
8.
An 8. Vince.
10.
10. Brian.
Nine.
One more time, Brian.
Nine.
A 9. Very good. All right, Tom, when you're ready.
3 10s, 2 9s, 3 8s, 5 7.
Okay. Then that is 8.2. So our number one project is assessment of inspection reporting and building conditions in South Florida with an average of 9.2. Our number two project is establishing inspection periods for preventive measures for mid-rise buildings near coastal and inland South Florida environments at 8.2. Our number three project is assessing the need to modernize water penetration resistance test procedures at 7.2. Our number four project is assessment durability requirements for concrete structures at 5.8. Our number five project is an investigation of the factors leading to ridge vent failures and possible mitigation solutions at 4.5. And our number six project is wind induced loads on ground mounted ballasted systems at 3.2. So that's the rankings that we have. We'll have those, available very soon. I'll have a document which I'll send over to the staff to distribute and post as appropriate. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing now. Let's see, how does that work? There we go. And that is pretty much concludes the business. Is there any other additional comment from anybody at this time before we have Commissioner Schock adjourn us?
Yeah, Jeff, I need, that's okay.
I need a motion.
This is Mom Medani. I need to go over the work plan for a second.
Yeah, before you do it, Mom, I apologize. I'd like to ask, please, for someone to make a motion to recommend the commission approve funding the research projects for fiscal year 2022-2023 based on your Hurricane Research Advisory Committee's recommended priority order and to charge DBPR staff with contracting, administering, and overseeing the research and negotiating scoping and funding levels as appropriate.
Sass here, so motion. That was a mouthful to repeat.
All right.
Second.
Yep. Second, Commissioner Schock. Jim, go ahead and call the motion if you would, sir.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Right. Okay, sorry, Mo, if you'd like to review the work plan.
Yes, can I share screen?
Well, Mo's getting up. Who made the motion on that last one?
Vince made the motion. It was seconded by Chairman Schock.
Thank you.
Now, this is Mohammed. Is it okay to go ahead, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mo. All right, you're on.
It's the work plan. As we've done before, just to go through it and the timeline, I think at this point we, as you know, 6/1/2022, you guys met and did the ranking. Now the commission will meet on the 7th and select projects, and we'll keep you informed of that. Now, between June and July, the plan is to really work on the scope of work, the draft of the scope of work. I just want to, and then after that, August, hope that by August we will have a contract or a purchasing order to start the work, and the plan to get the project completed by June 15, 2023. Now, to expedite and make the review of the scope of work easier. Please, when you do that, I think some of the scope of work I submitted still does not meet the information stated under date 5/3/2022. We need to kind of an introduction. We need the introduction to be very direct. And a paragraph, I don't need an article there. Second, you need to really spell out the specific task. That's 1, 2, 3. And under each task, explain to us how you gonna, what kind of work, how you gonna approach the task to mainly arrive to completing the task. And then after that, then the staffing and the budget and all that. And when you, also with regard to the report, interim report and a final report, fill out what you're going to give us under these reports. So if you do that up front and send me the scope of work, then, I'm sure we'll go back and forth on any additional information needed. But that's really what I have for you. If you have any question, you can always call me about the work plan or the scope of work or et cetera. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mel. All right, Jim, I think we're ready to, unless there's any additional comments from anybody, to adjourn the meeting.
Hey, Jeff, this is Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, just one comment. You may want to, since the Project 6 came in after the deadline, maybe you want to just make a note for the minute. Maybe we're going to, anyway, based on what Chairman Schock said, that based on the legislation that was passed, it had some importance, so you may want to list that as the reason why it was heard, even though it missed the deadline.
Okay. Good comment, and I'll make a note to that effect.
Great.
All right. Anybody else have any last minute comments? All right, Jim, I think we're ready for you to join us.
All right, well, thank you everyone for participating, and as always, and appreciate everyone's effort. Is there any further comment? Hearing done, I think we can stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.